Let's church say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. All right, well, thank you, brothers, there for leading us in service. All right, Brother Max there. Thank you guys for your leading us there in the Lord's table. And Brother Kevin in prayer. And Brother Eddie there leading us in songs. We thank you, brothers. And most definitely know that you are appreciated for what you do. All right. And also for our sisters, too. I don't forget the sisters. I call them the shadow. We might not see the work that they do, but we most definitely know that the work is being done, and we appreciate it. Sometimes we don't say, you know, give appreciation to those that we don't see, like, as working in worship and things of the brethren, but most definitely for my sisters there, I appreciate the things that you do as the body of Christ in here, as this congregation here, as the Desert Church of Christ. I appreciate you all. All right. So this morning lesson is on the amazing grace of God. And it sound good? Amazing grace of God. All right. The lesson here this morning is about the grace of God, and it's about the grace of God given to the Apostle Paul. The title of the lesson is, By the Grace of God, I Am What I Am. And those are the very words coming from the Apostle Paul himself. Reason for the lesson is, as we journey in this Christian life, and we have these trials in life and the vicissitudes of life going up and down, it can test our faith. It can vex our souls as the things that we go through in life, just as the physical things that we go through in life. At times we get tired and we need to be boosted, energized. And as we, as Christians, we need to be encouraged. We need to be edified, uplifted in God's word. And I think a great reminder is that we're being reminded of what God has done for us. All right. Knowing that we do not deserve God's grace, we haven't done anything to earn God's grace. Grace is a gift of God given up to us. And it's always good to be reminded of the love that God has for us. It's good to be reminded of the forgiveness that God has given unto us. It's good to be reminded of the mercy of God that God has given unto us. It's good to be reminded of the goodness of God. It's good to be reminded of the grace of God. And that's what we're talking about today. The grace of God, but it is the grace of God given to the Apostle Paul. And I believe we can look and see the grace of God through the Apostle Paul, looking at some of his life, and see why he was so appreciative and so grateful for the grace of God. So the lesson, once again, is by the grace of God, I am what I am, from the very words of the Apostle Paul himself. What do we know about the Apostle Paul? We know that the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. All right, most of the New Testament, it is written by the Apostle Paul. We also know that most of the congregations of the Church of Christ were established by the Apostle Paul. What do we also know about the Apostle Paul from the Scriptures? We know that he was not always the Apostle Paul. All right, at one time in his life, before he became an apostle or known as the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. All right, that's who he was known as before he became the Apostle Paul or became a Christian, a follower of Christ Jesus. So, Apostle Paul, his name was Saul of Tarsus. Saul, that was his Jewish name. Paul was his Roman name. All right, this is some of the background information about Paul. He was born in Tarsus, a city here of Cilicia, in the home, was his hometown. All right, so he was a Roman citizen. He was also born as a Jew, and he speaks of himself as a Hebrews of Hebrews, and one that was of the tribe of Benjamin. So if anyone can say that they were a true Jew or a descendant of Abraham, Apostle Paul puts the stamp on that as he says that I am a Hebrew of Hebrews of the tribe of Benjamin. His work that he did, or his trade, was that he was a tent maker. All right, as he was Saul of Tarsus, he went out, and that's what he did, was make tents. He was also educated in Jerusalem under Gamaliel, which was an honored Jewish teacher there. He was one of the highest honored Jewish teachers, and his name was Gamaliel. He was raised up in Jerusalem, sitting at this man's feet here and being taught of the traditions of their fathers, the law of Moses, and taught about God. So that was part of his education and his upbringing there up under Gamaliel. And Gamaliel also was a Pharisee. All right, he was a Pharisee, which Saul was also. He was a Pharisee, which was one of the strictest of the Jewish sects. They tried to keep the law as strictly as they could, that which was one of the Pharisees. Saul was also a member of the Jewish council there, of the great council there. He was a member. And also that he was also very zealous for Judaism. All right, so for his religion that he believed in, Judaism, Saul was very zealous for that. And for the teachings that he had, the traditions of his fathers, very zealous for that. And also for the law of Moses, and very zealous for God. So his zeal that he had was so great that it also led him to be one as known as a persecutor of the church. All right, he had great zeal for God. He had great zeal for what he believed and what he was taught of the traditions of his fathers and the law of Moses. And because of that, he had great zeal. And that zeal also had led him in his beliefs and his thoughts in ending up persecuting the church there of Christ, the church of God. Saul, he was one that you would say was a madman when it came to the church. He wanted to destroy the church. He thought Christians were imposters. He thought Jesus Christ was an imposter. He didn't think that Jesus Christ was actually the Son of God. And he was going to do everything that he possibly could to destroy the church and get rid of the church. And this is where you see that Saul had great zeal and wanted to eradicate the church. He wanted to totally eliminate it. He was the Terminator when it came to seeing the church. That was a false religion to him. This was a sect that he wanted to get rid of. He thought Christianity was not the true religion, and it was opposed to what he believed and what he had been raised up and taught from his youth there. So we see there that he was very one that wanted to destroy the church. And we first learn about Saul in scriptures in Acts chapter 7. And we'll turn there. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. And we'll see here about Saul of Tarsus and about his great zeal that he had for what he believed in and his traditions there and his belief to God and the teachings of the law. So we're looking at here in Acts chapter 7, and we're going to start here right here in verse number 57 is where we're going to start at there. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 57, and this is where we see Saul here. And Saul here is giving his approval to those who are guarding and also guarding the clothes of those who killed the first Christian martyr, here Stephen. So we see Saul here while Stephen's being killed. He's giving his approval to the killing of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen. And he's standing there while the witnesses who stoned Stephen, Saul is standing there while they lay their coat at his feet. And this is where we first introduced to Saul here in scriptures here. So we're going to look here at verse number 57. So we're in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 7. And what was going on here, Stephen, which is a Christian, he is here as now before the council of Jewish leaders, and he's recounting their history to them. And basically through what he's recounting to them, he's telling them that your fathers have rejected the messengers of God, all right, and killed the messengers of God. And now he's telling them, recounting their history to them and telling them these things. And also we see that they are rejecting the message of God. They're rejecting the very message that Stephen has given unto them, as we see that they closed their ears and ran upon him to drag him out and to stone him. So we're reading here at Acts chapter 7, verse 57. And it reads, "At this they covered their ears," talking about the Jewish leaders here, the council here, "they closed their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." All right. So we see here that these men, they rejected the message. They closed their ears. They didn't want to hear what Stephen had to say anymore. They dragged him out of the city, and they began to stone him. And who was there? We see Saul there. He's giving his approval. He's giving his thumbs up. He's saying, yeah, go ahead and kill him. And they see that these men, these witnesses who are stoning Stephen, they laid their clothes, their garments at the feet of Saul. We see this taking place. Let us continue to read here. Verse 59. We'll read through verse 59. And now let's drop down to verse 8, chapter 8, verse number 1. We'll just start right there. Chapter 8, verse 1, and it says, "Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So we see on that, we see in the very chapter 8 there, verse number 1, Saul giving his approval to the death of Stephen. And then we see there on that very day that Stephen was died, had been killed, that godly men were out burying him. But then we see on that day also a great persecution came against the church. So we see when Stephen died, a great persecution had started against the church there. And we see who was right there in the smack dab middle of them was Saul there, who was out to destroy the church. In verse 3 it says, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. You see how he was vicious against the church? He's out to destroy the church. Saul is not holding back on the church at all. He's out to destroy the church. He's going from house to house. He's going to each Christian's house. He's finding them, men and women. He didn't care who you were. You could be an elderly sister on a cane. Saul was coming to get you and to arrest you and to put you in prison. He was to stomp Christianity out. That's what Saul was on. He was on a vengeance like a madman, putting men and women into prison. This is what Saul was about at that time. All right, so we see that taking place there in the life there of Saul. Let us continue on as we see there in verse number 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So even though we got this great persecution coming upon the church, God's people spread out. That's what God wanted them to do anyway. But they spread out, and what did they do? They went out and they preached the word. They went out and preached the gospel everywhere. That's what God wanted them to do. Even though in the midst of this great persecution taking place, God's people were still out, scattered out, and they went and they preached the word of God. All right, that's where we see taking place there. All right, so we want to continue on and look and see why we can see that Saul had such great appreciation for the grace of God. We want to look and we want to see a little bit about his background and see why he also had such a great appreciation of God. But we want to continue to look and see how he also was a persecutor of the church and see it from his own language. So in the book of Acts, you'll see Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26, Apostle Paul is speaking about his conversion unto certain people, such as those who are in authority in high places there. And we're going to turn into Acts chapter 22. We're going to take a look at one of these accounts. Acts chapter 22. That's where we're going. And we're going to look further on how Saul persecuted the church. We're in Acts chapter 22. And we're going to look here at verse number 4 and 5. Acts 22, 4 and 5. Looking at Apostle Paul telling his own story here, and we're seeing how he further persecuted the church. All right, so verse number 4, I persecuted the followers of this way, that is the way of Christianity, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to the brothers in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. So it wasn't enough for Saul of Tarsus just to persecute God's people in Jerusalem. He went and got letters from the authorities, from the high priest, from the council, to go all the way to Damascus to arrest Christians and to bring them back to Jerusalem. It wasn't enough for him. He was going out into certain places in Jerusalem, and he also said strange cities, to go out and find Christians and arrest them. He was out. He was like, he started in Vegas. That wasn't good enough. He come all the way here to Pahrump to arrest Christians and to take them back to Las Vegas to be prison. Saul was a madman out to stomp out the church, to destroy the church. Let's continue. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We're going to look at verses 9 through 11 here. Acts chapter 26, 9 through 11. Saul says, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my accession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. So Apostle Paul, or Saul here, he says he was convinced, it was in his mind, he was convinced that he ought to do everything possible to oppose the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He thought that he was supposed to do everything he could to destroy the church. He says there in the end of verse 10, I cast my vote against them. Many times I went from one synagogue to another to punish them, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. He even tried to get them to blaspheme. He tried to get them to curse Christ, deny Christ, tried to do everything he could to get them to give up their faith. And this is what we see here as the Apostle Paul and his past life here before he became Saul of Tarsus. So, on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter. And the encounter was with Jesus Christ himself. Let us turn back to Acts chapter 9. Let us turn back to Acts chapter 9, and we'll read about his conversion there, just a portion of it there. Acts chapter 9. And we'll start here. Let me see here. We'll do Acts chapter 9, and we'll read all the way down to verse number 6. So this is talking about Saul's conversion. All right. He's out persecuting the church. He's on his way to Damascus. And on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ himself. Let's read about it. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So we see as Paul was out, as the scripture lets us know, breathing out murderous threats against the church, going to get letters to go to Damascus to arrest Christians, to take them and arrest them, to bring them and put them in prison. On his way, he had a bright light that shined from heaven. And this bright light that came from heaven caused him to fall to the ground, and he heard a voice. And that verse said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? He says, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Saul was out persecuting the church. All right, but then we see Jesus says that you're persecuting me. Do you understand? When someone's persecuting the church, they are persecuting Christ. All right? Somebody's persecuting the body. We are the body of Christ. When they're persecuting the body, they're also persecuting the head. We are the body of Christ, which is connected to the head, which is Jesus Christ. So when something's happening to the body, Jesus knows about it. Right? Don't ever think that there's something going on in the body of Christ and the Lord doesn't know about it. He knows what's going on with his body. So Saul was out persecuting the church. He was out persecuting Christians, but he was also persecuting Christ Jesus himself. And Christ stopped him on his way to Damascus with a bright light. See, Saul fell down to the ground and said, who is this? And Jesus says, this is me. All right, you're persecuting me, Saul. And then we see here, Jesus says, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Jesus told him, this is what you need to do. Go into the city, and you're going to get some instructions on what you need to do. All right? And he went into the city. The Lord sent a man named Ananias to go and tell Saul what he needed to do. All right? And that was that he needed to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, so that now he can have his sins to be forgiven and now be blessed to be in God's family. He's on the right track now when he's being converted. He's no longer going the wrong direction. He's going the right direction. He's following Jesus Christ now the way that he had in his heart. He had the zeal to do what was right by God. Persecuting the church, he thought he was doing what was right by God. But Jesus let him know that, no, I'm not a imposter. I am the Son of God. And you're persecuting me. You're going in the wrong direction. And we see that Saul here, he repented and he went in the right direction following Jesus Christ. And continued on with that same zeal that he had as he used to persecute the church. He's now a preacher of God's word. All right, so that was the conversion there. He wasn't told to pray. He wasn't told to. He was told to get up and go and to be baptized. Wash away your sins, and that you're going to be an instrument for God to go and take the message of God to the Gentiles and to kings and others in authority. That's what was the conversion that we see here about the Apostle Paul. So now we see he was going the wrong way. God has now showed him, Jesus Christ, that he was going the wrong way, and now that he is to go in the right way, the way that God wants him to be. So now we're going to look at the grace that God has given unto Saul. We just seen it there. You know, God's giving him and telling him what he needs to do to be saved. The forgiveness of sins, that's beginning there. We see there of God's grace to the Apostle Paul. God always had grace and favor upon him as being with him, protecting him, showing his mercy to him. But then we see the grace that allowed him to be saved and be set on the right direction there. And Saul tells us about that here in God and in the Word, in the Bible. Let us look at Galatians chapter 5. Is that 5? No. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13 through 15. And we'll see from Saul's own words, the Apostle Paul's own words, the grace of God that was given unto him. So we're looking at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we're looking at Paul's own word about the grace of God that was given unto him. Okay, we're in verse 13, and we're going to go through, instead of 15, we're going to drop down to 16 there. So Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. All right. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So we see here, Apostle Paul here, Saul, he talks about how God called him by his grace and that he is thankful for that great grace that he had. Talking about his former way of life, which was Judaism, all right, and how he intensely persecuted the church, and also how he was advancing beyond many of the other Jews that were there amongst him and zealous for the traditions of his fathers. But he says, but when God set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, God called me by his amazing grace, set him on the right path to go in the right direction by the grace of God. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we can continue to look at this great grace that was given unto the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians chapter 2, and looking at verse 7 and 8. Okay, we're in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry. I got it written wrong on my page. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. It reads, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of the grace given to me through the working of his power, although I am less than the least of all of God's people. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we see here, Apostle Paul said, I'm a servant of this gospel, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he tells us by the gift of God. See, salvation is a gift of God that was given to him. He said, the gift of God's grace given unto me. Then he says also that I am less than the least of all of God's people. You see how undeserving Paul saw himself. He says, I'm the less of the least of all the guys. If God got a million people, I'm at the end of them. I'm the less of the least of all the God's people. He felt that he was so unworthy and so undeserving of the grace of God. You see how appreciative he is for the grace of God? I'm the least of all of God's people. And that's how he viewed himself. He says, I am the less than the least of all of God's people. This grace was given to me. God had grace upon me. Even though he viewed himself as the least of all of God's people, he still sees that the grace of God was given to him to be able to go out and preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ Jesus. Let's continue on. Let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll continue to look at Paul and his appreciation for the grace of God. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're looking here at verse number 8 through 11. We'll start at verse number 9. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. So the Apostle Paul writing unto the Christians here at Corinth about the resurrection of Christ and that how he was one of the last apostles that Jesus has seen, born out of due time. He says here in verse number 9, I am least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. He said, I don't deserve to be called an apostle. I don't deserve to be. I'm the less than the least of all the saints. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. And he says, because I persecuted the church of God. He said, because of my actions in persecuting the church of God, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. I don't deserve to be called an apostle. But it's the amazing grace of God. Somebody that I was in my past life before I became a Christian and all the wrong that I've done, I don't even deserve to have God's grace. But look at how good God has been to me, that he's not only allowed me to become a saint, he's allowed me to become an apostle and to be able to go out and preach his great message. How great is God's amazing grace? And this is what Paul is sharing with us in his life. He says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. So he says here, by the grace of God, I am what I am. All right? I used to be a persecutor of the church, but now I'm a preacher of the church, or a preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ. I used to be a sinner, as being a great sinner at that one time, persecuting the church, bringing havoc against the church, arresting Christians, putting them into jail, casting my vote against them to be put to death. That used to be me, but by the grace of God, God allowed me to be in his family and to be able to go out and to be on the right path, be on that path of straight and narrow, to go out and preach to other people that they also can have a part of this great, amazing grace of God. And this is how we see the Apostle Paul was so appreciative to what God has done for him. Let us go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're looking here at verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Paul says here to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who gave me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. So Paul was thankful to who? Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to Jesus Christ. He has given me strength. He has considered me faithful. Me, one that was persecuting the church. He considered me faithful. He appointed me to his service. He allowed me to be in his service. Are we thankful to be in the Lord's service? we're thankful we can express it, not just by what we say, but also it'll be evident by what we do. If we really are thankful for what God has done for us, allowed us to be in His service, to be able to work for the great Creator, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God our Father, who has given us and shown us grace. And so it'll be evident, just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I labored more than all the rest of them. But he wasn't bragging. He said it wasn't me, but it was the grace that was in me. He knows what he has done in his past. Apostle Paul is now saved, and he is out working for the Lord. He is out doing his best to work and bring others to Christ and share the message of God, because he recognizes and appreciates the grace of God. This is why you see it deep in his heart. He understands who he was at that time and now the grace of God who has allowed him to be able to be who he was as a preacher of God's word. Verse 13, he says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. He says, even though once I was a blasphemer, he spoke evil of Christ. All right, blasphemy, you're speaking evil of Christ, you're speaking evil of God, and a persecutor, which we've seen that in scriptures, and also he was a violent man. This was Paul's past, a violent man. And he says, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Also, Paul acted in ignorance. Ignorance, he didn't know what he was doing. He thought he was doing right in unbelief. He acted in ignorance and unbelief. There are many people in this world, in the religious world, who think they're doing what is right, but they're not doing what's right according to God's word. They can be very sincere about what they're doing, but they're sincerely wrong. All right? They're sincerely wrong. And that's why we as the children of God need to be on our best in sharing the word of God to them to help them to be able to see what God has said. A lot of people out there misguided and do not understand what God has said, but they think that they're doing what is right. As we shared before in Scripture, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. It is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. A lot of people out here, a lot of sincere, honest, faithful according to what they believe. They're very faithful about what they believe, very zealous about what they believe, but their zeal is not according to the knowledge of God. That's when Paul was praying there in Romans chapter 10 for his own people. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. They don't have the right understanding of God's word, and they're on the wrong track. That's what we do. We share the word of God. Do all we can. Share the word of God. Pray for them to come to understand God's word, to accept the word of God. And I got many in my family the same way. They think they're doing what's right, but it's not the right according to what God's word has said. And that's where it comes for us as the children of God, having compassion for man to help share the word of God, just not by what we say, but also by what we do, because they sure watching what we do, and we got to be example before them. And we water, we plant, and God will add the increase. That's how that works. We plant and water, let God add the increase, just as he did with Saul. Imagine trying to talk to Saul and sharing the gospel with him at that time when he had persecuting the church. You wouldn't have nothing to do with him. And that's just like Barnabas had to bring him to the other brethren because they didn't want nothing to do with him. Ananias, when Jesus told him, you go out there and share the message with Saul. Have you heard about him, Lord? Oh, of course I have. He's going to be my chosen instrument to go to the Gentiles and to the kings and others. You just go out and share the word of God. But see, it's God has to touch man's heart. And we do that through his word today as we share his word and through things that happen in people's lives. Sometimes things happen in people's lives to soften people's heart to bring them to God. But one thing that we do, we share the truth, and if they accept it or not, we know that we did our part that God wants us to. We shared that truth. Some people don't just accept the gospel right when you preach it to them, all right, or you teach it to them. I didn't. It took me some time. I was studying what I was taught to make sure that it was what it was. And then I had certain things that were still going on in my life that I had to get out of my life, in my mind. If I'm going to dedicate and be a servant of the Lord, and I'm going to be a true servant of the Lord, I'm going to get these things out of my life. I'm going to know what I'm about to be involved in as serving the Lord, and I'm going to be on that straight, narrow path that leads to life, and I'm going to be serious about it. And it takes people some time to get there. Study with a woman here that about 2 months. She didn't obey the gospel. We studied about 2 months. She loved to study the Bible. When it comes to the end of the study, she still was confused about certain things about her Catholic religion. I told her, well, we studied the Bible. What are you confused at? And she thought for a little while, didn't really know what she was confused about. So I went over some more scriptures with her to understand. I told her, when you get ready to come to the Lord, let me know. But I let her know that you're in a dangerous situation being outside of Christ Jesus. And I let her know this was love to share the message with her and to hope to, you know, be able to bring her to Christ. We developed a real good friendship, me and her grandchildren, and I still, you know, talk to them and still visit them, but that's how things go sometimes. Sometimes people automatically don't obey the gospel, but I haven't given up on her. We're still friends, still pray that she obeys the gospel. If she wants to have a Bible study, we can study about certain things to bring her to Christ, but that's it, though. You know, I have to plan and let God add the increase. All right, so let me get back us. We're out of time already. Okay, here we go. So I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Verse 14, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that is in Jesus Christ. All right. So Apostle Paul, he's most gracious about the grace of God and how it was poured out of him. And it was in the love that was of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is what we see there with Apostle Paul. And he says here in verse 15, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves all full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So he says, hey, Jesus can save me. The worst of all sinners, I'm the worst of worst. He can save anyone else. All right, whosoever will want to come to him, Jesus will save you. He says, I'm the worst of all the sinners out there. And he said, he didn't say, I used to be. He still recognized who he was. He says, I am the worst of sinners. He says, I am the worst of all the sinners out there, of whom I am the worst. He never forgot his sins and his past life. That helped him to remind himself of the grace of God. All right. And he says there also, verse 16, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his ultimate patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. So he says that I am as in a pattern to show the long suffering of Jesus Christ, his patience. If he could be patient with Saul, one who persecuted the church, that is an example that he can be patient and long suffering to anybody, that anybody can come to him and showing as an example of who Apostle Paul was in his past life, and also showing God's here great and ultimate patience that he has. All right, then anybody can come on him, believe on him, and receive eternal life. Verse 17, he says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, looking at this amazing grace, how God has saved me, the worst of sinners, showing that I am an example, a pattern to anybody else, that if Christ can save me, he will save anybody else. He said, because of this great mercy that has been shown to me, this great grace, he says here in verse 17, to the King, immortal, eternal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He goes in to praise God for his amazing grace that he has. So the pattern to save whosoever will, because Christ Jesus has saved Apostle Paul, who considered himself as the worst of all sinners, the last of the least of saints. He says, if he can save me, he can save anyone else. All you have to do is come to God. All right, come to Christ. And we see the grace of God for the forgiveness there, but it didn't stop. The grace of God continues. It continues to help change us and transform our lives to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. That's our lesson for today about the great grace of God given unto the Apostle Paul, showing that him as an example, God can save him, Christ can save one as a persecutor of the church, he can save anyone else. And that grace continues to change our lives if we allow it to do so. If there's anyone here that has anything on their heart that they want to bring to the congregation, if you have anything on your heart, something you might be struggling with, anything that you want to bring before us and ask us to pray for you that you might be strengthened in those areas, please let it be known. At this time, we're going to get prepared to stand and sing the invitation song.